So, it's the first time the three of us have actually recorded a podcast together. Finally, we've had a few commitment and work stuff going on, I suppose, haven't
issues.
We? So, issues, yeah.
We're still in the dark.
We're still in the dark because we haven't got a light fitting in this room yet, but we're all systems go other than that. Of course, we are doing this podcast under a bit of a sad sort of...
Yeah, I've got my armband on, my black armband.
Yeah, Dean Smith is no longer manager at Aston Villa.
Well, no, it's kind of hard to sort of believe in it, really.
Yeah.
A week ago, it was like, I probably needs to win or get something for the Southampton game, and we didn't. But the performance wasn't that bad. Second half. First half, we were off it, weren't we? Martinez kept us in the game.
Yes, without him, it could have been a hell of a lot worse.
The typical Dean Smith changed a few things around, and they came out and had a real go. And I think that's the thing. It's not like the players weren't playing for Dean Smith. I just think he hasn't had a chance to pick the strongest side that Villa could probably field. Whether that's still good enough to be higher than he is in the league at the moment, I don't know. But... he hasn't been able to pick a fit, strong side in any game yet this season.
No, and I think...
fit Leon Bailey yet?
No.
Still haven't.
Buendia can't last a full game.
Douglas Luiz holding centre midfield alongside John McGinn, which allows John McGinn to actually play his game. We've had, Matt Cash missing for a game. We've had Matt Targ missing for a game. Cons are missing for a game. It's been... it's not like we've had the strongest side... all fit, and Dean Smith hasn't been able to get results.
So, in your opinion, then he shouldn't have actually been sacked.
My worry is the managers we're being linked with, are they going to be any better than what Dean Smith would have been? That's my only concern. Obviously, he can't carry on. Five defeats is five defeats.
Well, in the statement from Perslow, it was very much, it wasn't about the last five games. The point was made that there hasn't been continued improvement since the start of the season.
We were quite realistic about this season, weren't we? We said this is a bridging season. I think in all of our podcasts we've said this season's kind of important in respect of we need to be sort of be stable enough to bring some of the youngsters through at the end of the season. Now, if that's because we're missing a key player... and that's arguably what most Villa fans probably think is what the difference is. Somebody that can get the ball up the pitch and hold it up there rather than just keep coming back. That's probably the difference in where we probably thought we'd be and where we are, you know.
Well, just to clarify, we've had 40 points from the last 36 games.
Yeah.
Which isn't good enough.
No.
If you look at it in... black and white, and that's what football owners do, is they look at it and go, we've invested X amount into this football club and what have we got back? And I kind of, not that I would, I love Dean Smith and we'll go into the reasons why we love Dean Smith, but if you look at it in black and white, in the past year, the performances and the points that we've actually got haven't been good enough.
I think he still would have been in a job if it weren't for the last five games.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We were going to watch Match of the Day, and the Alan Shearer said that he's still got some buy-in, so it was kind of like a big shock. But
I saw Paul Merson in the week and saying the same, that he's earned enough brownie points to ride through more than five defeats.
Mm.
They thought the board may have... we'll find out, won't we? I mean, the risk is the names that are being branded around... Mm. Are they any better than the Dean Smith who knows those players?
I think we all thought that he would get given the international break and then the Brighton game. And I think if things didn't start, if we didn't pick up points then against Brighton, who a lot of people would deem to be around the same sort of level that we're at.
A better season than most people we expected.
Yeah. I think if I genuinely thought, because when on Saturday when we woke up after another terrible loss and we were all just downbeat again.
Yeah, Friday night's on Sky hasn't been good for us.
No, it hasn't been good. And then you wake up on the Saturday morning and I thought, well, if they're going to do something, would they have done it straight away? But then to sort of be out and about on Sunday and, you know, we heard it on TalkSport, didn't we, Greg? And it was like Jack Grealish had said, you know, the GOAT and all this, and he'd put a post up. And I just thought, I can't believe they've let him go. And my initial thought, I was really, really sad. Because I was like, it's the end of an era where, and again, we'll come on to the reasons why Dean Smith has changed Villa, but he has changed our football club.
He totally galvanised Villa Park. It wasn't just, he didn't just like lift the club from, was it 16th in the Championship when he took over?
Yeah, we were 15th in the Championship.
15th in the Championship.
Yeah. And people were talking about us getting relegated from the Championship.
Mad run.
Yeah. It's
unprecedented. History making.
Well, obviously, Jack Grealish got injured, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then when he came back, he got given the armband.
Which was a masterstroke.
And
he just catapulted Villa to the playoffs.
And I remember at the time people saying, oh, that's an interesting sort of choice to give Jack Grealish the captain's armband, and then in that exact game against Derby, that's when he scored that like, volley from the corner.
Great goal.
And that was it.
Brought us into the playoffs, and the rest of that's history. Then, not only that, it's like the cup final and staying up a little bit by the narrowest of margins on the last day, and you know, hopefully that doesn't come round again.
What do you think, if you had to pick out a favourite sort of Dean Smith moment? And it can be anything, because everybody's memories of Dean, it sounds like he's died. But
it was like he died in the car coming back from the friend's party.
We took Liverpool to pieces.
So would that be your favourite memory?
It's got to be up there,
hasn't it? It's got to be up there, because we just made them look like a pub team that day.
Yeah, I couldn't watch it, I was at work, you guys were messaging me.
Absolutely got destroyed.
Barkley having a really good game in that game, linking up with Grealish quite well, and then he plays really well for Chelsea
now.
It's really, really annoying.
Yeah, I mean, he did have some good performances. He did have some good performances
back
at Villa.
These people come back and haunt us as well.
Yeah,
it probably does it for other clubs. We probably just don't look at other clubs like, oh, he'll come back and haunt us, but
I've got a couple of my fave.
Forest game was amazing. One of the few games you went to, but that was a mad game. 5-5, bizarre.
I think one of my favourites, and everybody's been sharing it over the weekend, was when we beat West Brom on penalties to get to the final. And the atmosphere was amazing. All the players are hugging each other and the fans are going wild. And Dean Smith walked up to the fans and put his hand up and he was like, just one more.
That was
even when I watch it now, I'm like, I'll get goosebumps.
The penalty shootout gives you goosebumps as well. That was a great night.
And when they said to Dean Smith as well, you know, what will you say to the players when they go out at Wembley? And he said, be a good teammate. And that that was Dean Smith in a nutshell. And then the fact that after the game, like when we saw like all the Instagram stuff coming through afterwards, and he was like, look, go out, have a drink, enjoy yourselves because you've earned this. And I just thought, if you forget everything to do with football just for 1 minute, Dean Smith is a top bloke.
Oh, he's a top guy, yeah. And the thing is, like I said, it galvanised Villa Park. I mean, we've said it before, there was probably 16,000 average gates back then when we were 15th in the Championship.
Yeah, and it was just a toxic place, wasn't it? Horrible. Yeah, there was no connection between the fans and the club.
The players, the fans, everything that the club is all now interconnected, and they'll leave that behind because it's not. Fortunately, one thing the board have done, and I think we'll be thankful of this, they've let him go before it may have turned a little bit negative, toxic. We didn't want to hear booing. He's a Villa fan, ultimately, that's what I have to remember.
Yeah.
And for him, he lost his dad that season before as well. Forget this, and just carried on.
He just carried on,
professional.
Yeah. Well, Project Restart saved his Villa career then, really.
Yeah.
Because we were in free fall then as well.
But he shouldn't
we were on a terrible run of results.
Forgot what he's done for the club. And like I say, I can also now, or look back, we will look back probably and go, the board may have done the right thing in respect of letting Dean Smith go before things turn toxic, because you wouldn't want that for him. He deserves better than that.
No, and I think had we have lost that Brighton game at home, there was the danger of that happening. And you're spot on, because we said that straight away. We were like, at least he didn't get to the point where he was getting, you know, stuff thrown at him, or, you know, there has been some stuff on social media, not a lot, but
we've all got fans within our clubs that are, let's say, quick to jump and forget what people have done for us. We've all got them.
We saw it coming though, didn't we? I said to you guys a couple of weeks ago, I fear for his job, I fear for Dean Smith.
Yeah,
last week on the podcast, we were talking about, you know,
I listened into that.
Who's going to be taking his job, and he wasn't even sacked. We were going through who would have as the manager.
Yeah, because it was really ramping up.
News in trouble.
Is it more to do with Jack Grealish leaving the club than Dean Smith not being good enough with the players we've got? Is it that the players are not good enough without Jack Grealish?
I think it's a bit of both. I can't think the whole team, when one man leaves one, a team, that then it can just turn, you know,
but
wrong
the stats
and lose.
During the time that Jack Grealish was injured in the Championship, showed how much we depended on him.
And when he was injured.
When he was injured.
In the Premier League as well.
The whole of our assists dropped.
Pressing.
We don't win free kicks because we've got nobody. Tricky to
I think he just slows the game down, doesn't he, Grealish? He can hold the ball up and he invites people in, and that sucks in time.
Yeah,
but you can't. I mean, you've got to look at players like John McGinn, Buendia. They've not stepped up to the plate, in my opinion. They've not been good enough.
No, but Buendia, I don't think he's a £100 million player, and we spent £30 million on Buendia, but it's a third of a Jack Grealish. So you're only going to get a third of what Jack Grealish gives you. That is the reality of it. The only way you're going to replace Jack Grealish is to go out and buy somebody like Phil Foden or Bruno Fernandes, and that's the reality of it.
Or do we just get Grealish back on loan?
Stats don't lie. Over the course of the season, Jack Grealish was the heartbeat of Villa. And
but I mean, Villa didn't just go down when Jack the Grealish left. I think it was the Wolves game that turned.
I think.
Because you beat Manchester United.
It was, but I think the warning signs have been there for a little while.
The Everton game, for me, I remember watching the Everton game. For large parts of that game, they were the better side, Everton. That game changed when we got two quick goals, didn't we? We scored a goal and they got a really quick one after them. Then the game just went away from Everton and they were beat. But I tell you what, that game could have gone... I look at all the games now and I think, you know, could have gone the other way.
Because you were 9th or 10th, weren't you, when you beat United? I think you were 10th.
Something like that, yeah.
And then it was the Tottenham game?
Yeah, we were dreadful against a very average Tottenham side.
We were dreadful first half against Watford. Absolutely awful.
That's first game of the season, yeah.
We were awful. Could have lost to Everton. So I'm not papering over the cracks. There's been some, not entirely in the whole of a game have we been awful. It's been like that, hasn't it?
We've not
been consistent within a game.
No.
That's the problem. It's not like we've played bad for 90 minutes in any game. Even the Arsenal game, they gave it a go. The second half actually probably deserved maybe one or two goals more than
think we always, at the minute, it seems to be like we leave it a little bit too late. And that's one thing we've picked up on this podcast before, is that Dean Smith, one of the faults that I have with him, and it's one of the only ones I can think of, is that his in-game management is the most disappointing part of him. Because you watch him and you just, like when Al Ghazi got booked, he was so lucky. He should have come on.
We messaged each other, didn't we?
Yeah.
You need to get Al Ghazi off here, because the last thing we need is to go down with 10 men.
Yeah.
And he could have gone.
He should have gone. You know, if you're a fan of any other club and you're watching that, you're thinking, how is he still on the pitch? But I think one of the biggest problems, well, there's two massive problems that I see looking back at the past few months. First of all, our pre-season was absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
We had players that were coming in and out from international break.
Yeah.
We had, like, the COVID. Injuries.
Just that excuse about Villa. There's probably five or six clubs, but we've certainly been affected by it.
And then I think
we've had an unfit Leon Bailey, which if we'd have had a fit Leon Bailey starting the season, may have gone some way to.
And Buendia.
Well, and Buendia, we've just had nobody. Like, we've not hit the ground running this season.
No, been a really disjointed start, and then losing John Terry and Rich O'Kelly, which
Buendia and Martinez for a game. For the qualifiers, didn't they? They went away. We lost
for Argentina.
There's another game. We haven't. I think, without getting the book out and looking at it, I don't think we've played what we class most Villa fans would class as their strongest Villa side with fit players in it all season yet?
No, they definitely haven't.
And
we've had three or four different formation changes.
I looked at West Ham the other night, fair play to West Ham, take nothing away from them. Not when they played us, but the game after, the Liverpool game. I think, I might be wrong, but I think they've played more or less the same set with 11 all season.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two have got a niggle.
But the best...
In and out, but that... There's no surprise for where West Ham are if you can play a settled 11.
No, it's the same as when Leicester won the league.
Yeah.
You knew pretty much the Invincibles, they played the same team. So it is consistency, and we've not had that.
It's a culmination of things that the board probably couldn't. They couldn't sort of paper over it. It had to happen. And
but what do you think about the fact that, you know, John Terry, Richard O'Kelly go... We didn't really get an explanation as to... It was kind of put out that John Terry wanted to take some time, figure out what managerial job he wanted, but we had absolutely no communication about Richard O'Kelly at all.
He was linked to Swansea, wasn't he, John Terry?
It didn't happen, did it? You know, there's been jobs since then.
Yeah.
Quite decent jobs in the Championship, but you would expect the level for John Terry to go into. I mean, his name's been banned for the Villa job, but you can't go...
I just think that'd be a sidestep.
You can't,
I don't know,
that'd
be a movement forward. I think last week we mentioned this runner. Because as an impartial, I think Dean Smith, and I get all the romance and the Championship and all that sort of stuff, but I just think there's a group of managers like Brucey, Smith, Eddie Howe. They're all run of the mill. I think Purslow must have been listening to us last week, Coles, and like the word echelons, and perhaps wants to...
Which is mad, because Eddie Howe is now at Newcastle, where he's going to have what sort of budget?
That move to Newcastle is just to try and stop them getting relegated. That's all that is. Eddie Howe is not the long-term vision for Newcastle United
Football
Club. That's
probably, no joke aside, it's probably where our board are looking at the moment, Greg, as well.
Well,
That would probably be the remit that they'll bring a manager into Villa for at the moment. I don't think they'll sit down to him and go, right, we want Europe.
Well, this is probably a good time to go on to that in the next part of the podcast, because the next part of the podcast, I was going to talk about who is sort of being banded around, which if you've got eyes and you've got a phone, you'll probably already know. So the Sky Bet odds currently, Gerrard is favourite by a long way.
Right.
Well, he's. Do you want to read out these odds, Greg? Actually, you're like the odds expert in life.
Kind of evens or something.
This was as of half four this afternoon.
8 to 15.
All right.
So that means for every £15 you put on as a bet, you win £8 back.
Yeah.
So that's quite strong.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Gerrard?
It's a different league.
It is a different league.
I can understand it being attractive to Gerrard, because I was talking to somebody at work about this, and they were going, you won't get Gerrard. He's a club there where he's going to win stuff. And I went, yeah, but it becomes very boring. Literally, you're going to win it, or you're going to come second in Scotland with Rangers. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You're going to win a cup, Scottish Cup, and you're going to get to the qualifying round of the Champions League, but never get in the Champions League. And that's kind of it in Scotland for him.
It for Steven Gerrard, it would be a massive challenge at our football club. Let's face it.
He might want to set a legacy in Scotland with Rangers, which can be done. You're thinking like the late Walter Smith, who's just passed away, who's like left a legacy. Literally, will be remembered forever with Rangers fans. So he might be, but has he got that big affinity to Rangers?
It seems that players, managers go to Scotland to try and reinvent themselves. Look at Brendan Rodgers; he nearly won the league with Liverpool, in the Championship,
first
Liverpool.
Job, isn't it? He's
and then he's gone to Celtic and reinvented himself, and then he's back in the Premiership again. So I don't know about Gerrard. I think he's.
Do you think, bearing in mind he's a favourite, we should come back to Gerrard, go through the other odds?
Go through the other ones then. So Lampard's 15-2.
I don't think that'll happen.
I think.
I've got less feeling for Frank Lampard than I have for Gerrard.
This goes back to the Gerrard and Lampard debate of old now. Like, everyone has that. Did they prefer Lampard or Gerrard? And why couldn't we play them together ever?
not going to be managers at Villa together, are they? I wouldn't be surprised if it's not either of those, and it'll be somebody kind of a bit more left field.
Well, you've got,
I mean, the Danish guy apparently is, he's sort of,
he's ruled himself out, isn't
he? He said no. And to be honest,
he's 12 to 1.
No.
He wants to stay, he said, with his national side. And he's unproven in the Premier League. So, you know, the one that's there, that's sort of sitting there, and I've been looking at, and I'm thinking, is Ralf Hasenhüttl, who's literally steered Southampton three or four seasons away from trouble. Is he the guy that could do the job that the board would want to do?
In a weird way, he's like, for me, the wild card in there, because Premier League managers very rarely leave a Premier League club in the middle of a season to go to another Premier League club, especially when they're so close in the table. But the massive difference for Hasenhüttl now is, if he got that Villa job, it would be the biggest job in his career and a chance for him to get a budget that he'd never had at Southampton. Danny Ings is at our club. Exactly. Clearly,
there's no doubt Villa are twice the size of a club of Southampton. Because Southampton,
Southampton, they've absolutely destroyed us in the past couple of seasons. Whenever we've played them, really. I don't know what happened. James Ward, unless he brings James Ward Prowse with him,
he causes so much problems every time we play him.
James Ward-Prowse is...
Maybe we just signed him and sat him on our bench, because he wouldn't be playing for Southampton.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But if Hasenhüttl comes, I have two prerequisites for him, if that's the right word. Number one, he brings James Ward-Prowse with him from Southampton. And two, he sorts out his blooming dress sense.
Oh, his white trainers.
Oh, dear.
I'd kind of be disappointed, though, if he was appointed the new manager of Villa.
Would you? Yeah, just don't I think just he's high enough calibre.
One of those run-of-the-mill...
Bit of a wet lettuce.
Yeah, Premiership managers. I mean, the third favourite is John Terry, which I personally think would be
more romance than it is.
I just think that'd be a sidestep. I do.
Fantastic player, you know. He's won everything. I was looking at, I think it was on Instagram, and it showed you his lounge with all the trophies. And
well, more interestingly about that picture, because he's just come onto Twitter in the past 3 days, and he's already like ripping people apart on there that keep coming for him on there. But the picture he put on was, yeah, it is like his lounge or his office, and he had a tactics board in front of him with all like the counters, and it was blue and red. And so people were saying, oh, that's it, he's got the Villa job, because obviously we'll all get carried away and that sort of thing. Clearly, he's going to be moving. I think so, because Pep had them in all or nothing, so I don't think it means absolutely anything. But, yeah, John Terry, clearly, he had a massive impact at the club. Like, that goes without saying, like, defensively, we were much stronger with him involved in the setup. But does that mean he comes in and is our manager? I don't think so.
Two or three seasons in the Championship and done reasonably well in the Championship, took a side that's languishing, let's say... Who's down at the bottom in the Championship at the moment? Somebody like
Derby are doing brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah, Barnsley or somebody like that. And got Barnsley to the playoffs, let's say. And he did that for a couple of seasons, and they missed out the playoffs and that. You'd go, something about John Terry now. He's cut his teeth a little bit.
Yeah.
Into the Villa.
You might as well plump for Lampard then, because that's what Lampard did.
Yeah.
Over John Terry.
Yeah.
The positive about Lampard over
would Terry come back as a number two to Lampard?
I don't think so.
I mean, that's a very romantic sort of notion, but strange things have happened in football, haven't they? I mean, the one thing Frank Lampard has over John Terry is the fact that he has managed two clubs, albeit with like varied success. But one thing he does love, and it's been noted by a lot of people, is he likes to bring through youth. And at the moment, we've got a very strong youth setup that have we really utilised them lately? I don't think we have.
No. Probably not. Archer should have come on for Algarza. I think that may have given him a little bit to think about the other day.
Yeah.
That bit of pace down the wing. But I don't know. And then who else we got on that?
Martinez, 14 to 1.
I can't see Martinez leaving the Belgium job.
What has he done, though, for Belgium?
Well, he's got the best crop of players in the world.
Yeah, but he's not won anything.
They're and that's a big competition. That's Dad's point, I think, is that
he's got
the
best
De Bruyne.
Lukaku.
I mean, he was sacked from Everton, wasn't he?
Yeah, Martinez.
He was Everton manager.
I don't fancy Martinez, not at all. No.
No, and then you've got.
There's one or two managers that are currently in jobs that.
Potter.
Yeah, he's doing a decent job.
But they've not won in five.
I just don't see that happening.
He's from the Midlands, isn't he?
He's a Baggies fan, yeah. He's from Salford.
He used to watch Villa, though.
Yeah, I believe he's a Baggies fan. He's from Solihull, I think.
I don't see it happening. I just don't. As much as I do like the way Graham Potter gets Brighton a lot, they seem to do well each season without being...
Is he one of the people that fits that club but might not fit another club?
The thing is, the expectation at Villa, despite recent years, is massive, isn't it?
Yeah. What's weird is, you look at it, you've got somebody like Scott Parker, who you wouldn't have took at Villa when he was at Fulham, is absolutely flying with Bournemouth, but you wouldn't take him at Villa neither now.
No, I think the problem is...
Fulham, they were... When he did it, no, it was the other manager, I think, in Leicester, who won the Premiership, Leicester.
Brendan Rodgers. Oh, Ranieri.
So what I'm basically looking at is managers who are in vacant positions, which there's not a lot.
There's nobody, really.
Lucien Favre, or Favre.
Yeah, he's...
I like him.
Yeah, there's something about him. I think he'd be quite a character. And like Greg will tell you better than me, because you'll know he's seen all his stats, but he's won a lot of games in German football.
65% win ratio.
Yeah.
Which is high.
That's about the same as Gerrard.
He had a decent crop of players.
But the Bundesliga is a better league than... I'm going to upset our Scottish fans, but a better league
than... What Scottish fans?
David. can you really put the Bundesliga in...
No, but all I'm saying is if you...
He had a good crop of players, though, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to compete with Bayern Munich, are you? But at that period of time.
They finished third in them seasons, or second.
They come second two seasons in a row, and then they sacked him when he come fifth.
But he did have a good crop of players.
Yeah.
He won't necessarily have like the best crop in the Premier League with Villa at the moment, and he's got to be able to work with what we've got.
The last foreign manager we have just still gives me like the ick now.
That may be and it's years. Just the fans listening to this now might be going thinking the same. You know, Dean Smith's gone. You know, where do we go? That would probably scare a lot of Villa fans that were going to Villa Park under those days. Remy Garden,
Paul Lambert.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Bruce.
This is the thing. This is the impact that Dean Smith has had. Is that we've had, despite the ups and downs, we've had a steady ship, haven't we?
He always set us out to try and win a game.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe that's his fault at times. We lost games. But maybe we should have been trying to get draws here and there and grind out. And maybe that's where he wouldn't be able to get us any further up, because you can't go to place and grind out just to draw.
No, we're not that team.
We're not that type of team. We're a counter-attacking team that want to go on the front foot when we can. Sometimes we get pinned back. I don't know. So you've got Lucien Favre. Yeah. And then his stats are good.
Nuno.
Oh, no, the thought of Nuno is just a massive red flag for me. Sean Dyche even on that list?
He's in the betting odds.
Well, if Sean Dyche gets it, I want to see him and John McGinn on the training field.
Oh, yeah, because they had that thing over his coat.
Having a jacket off.
So that bit, I'd pay for tickets for that.
Sean Dyche knows how to grind out. What you were just saying, he knows how to... Yeah, I don't know if I could watch...
I think the gates would drop quite quickly under Sean Dyche.
This is the thing, isn't it? If this is the ultimate argument, is that would you rather lose a few games but watch entertaining football, or watch dross, really, but stay up every season without really ever worrying?
Yeah.
Like, do you ever think Burnley are actually going to get relegated under Sean Dyche? Because I'd...
Not really.
It just always manages to grind out those results.
Dean Smith sent us out to be dull and boring.
Never. We've never been dull, even at our worst.
Yeah, I know we escaped on the last day, but we were not dull and boring that season.
No.
And the gates will show you that. We still had gates back then, I think, up in the high 30s for our home game. So I don't think that was the case. Under Sean Dyche, them gates, I think, had dropped quite quickly.
I like him. I like him as a person. I love his banter. I love his personality. I can't see him taking any, you know what, from some of our players. And I like that aspect, but is he an upgrade on Dean Smith?
Though, has he, to spend?
This is true. That's the thing. No,
he's just every year, every season, he's just ground and ground and ground with what he's got and worked
on. But then on the flip side of that, does he know how to buy quality?
Well, this is the thing, though, is that it's not actually down to the manager, is it?
No.
It's Langer that's got to make these decisions. He will make the decision on our manager. Do we trust even him to get the right man? I don't know. That's a whole separate debate. In terms of the players that we have now, what does a new manager mean to some of them? Like, Tyrone Mings is getting absolute pelters on social media at the moment from people.
He's in England camp today and he looked pretty relaxed, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tough guy, isn't he? He shrugs his stuff off. But I kind of got into a bit of a spat with someone on social media for a change this week, because I said, do you think it's helpful, you know, giving our captain stick on social media and tagging him in it? Don't think it's particularly helpful at a moment where they've just lost their manager. Do you really want to wake up and...
He's made no bones about the fact he's got sort of...
He's had to see a therapist, basically, long story short, because...
But I don't think it's just a villain. It's been a long-term thing with him, hasn't
it? Yeah. Like performance anxiety. He said during the Euros, because every day he was waking up and seeing the press saying, you're not as good as Harry Maguire, which is questionable. You're not as good as Harry Maguire. What are you doing in the squad? If you get told that in any job, if I got told that tomorrow, you're not actually very good at this, are you? I'd start feeling a bit rubbish.
We've certainly not picked Novio, and we've made a point of that. We've never picked anyone out of Villa and not doing their job.
It's a team. When
people are dipped in form. I think what I'd like to see is John McGinn pick his form back up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's not the defence, is it, that's caused the biggest problem this season? It's the midfield.
We've conceded a hell of a lot of goals, and we've got a lack of clean sheets in the previous season.
Broken on so quickly for the midfield.
Yes.
Literally, I think Douglas Luiz is the best option we've got alongside John McGinn. John McGinn gets the best.
Yeah, and we really miss him. And we please come back soon.
I think you just need one of them, like a Declan Rice.
Yeah, we've been saying this for a long time.
Who doesn't?
He's a little bit
That's why Gerrard is the favourite in the because a midfielder of Gerrard's quality will come in and know what a good midfield looks like.
Yeah, we've still got to get to January if we haven't got that player in the club, though. That's the worry, isn't it?
Well, if you believe what's been sort of thrown around on social media again, is that he'd been effectively told there is money to spend in January, which doesn't shock me, because we seem to at the minute go, here's some more cash.
They've basically spent Jack's money. They didn't spend any other money.
Yeah, yeah. So we've not cut into our own budget as such.
There's probably going to be 110 million there for whoever for January, which will buy quality, but you've got to buy the right player. And if you've got to be in a position that player's going to be attracted to go. If we're like, let's say, worst case scenario where we are now, are we going to be attracted to somebody to want to come and have a bit of a dogfight at the end of the season?
January is not a good transfer window for any clubs. We signed Mings in a January, didn't we?
We need to be in touch, don't we? We need to be around 12th, 11th to be attracting top players. So we've got to get to there. We've got to get those points between now and January, haven't we? That's the thing. And who's going to... We just need to pick up some nasty draws here and there.
But
we need to stop the losing.
Do we have it in us? And we've said this before. We're not a nasty... We are a soft team now. People look at us and go, well, there's no one really on there that they fear.
I don't think it's a thing in the Premier League anymore like it used to be. I mean, Greg remembered more like Roy Keane and Paul Scholes and that.
Yeah, Patrick Vieira.
Those days, you don't...
Yeah, God, scrappers.
I hear people going, Ronaldo won't be going if somebody clatters him. There's nobody that can clatter... Nobody goes around clattering anyone anymore.
No, it's true, actually. Now you've said that.
There's people like Calvin Phillips that his work rate, fantastic, the way he closes people.
James Ward-Prowse.
But they don't go around clattering people.
No, I was saying this to Greg the other day because we were watching, I can't remember which match it was, but someone tackled somebody and I said to Greg, I don't even know why that's an issue. Why is that even a booking? Like 10 years ago, you'd have just gone, oh, what a challenge.
Yeah.
Or nowadays it's like, and this is going way off like topic, but you're right. Are we looking for a player that actually really doesn't exist anymore?
No.
They are actually more like, you say, like a Calvin Phillips, a Declan Rice, James Ward-Prowse. They're players that track back and they cover so much ground. Yeah. Like, we are not covering anywhere near as much of the pitch. Everything's dropped off. Our pressing, the kilometres ran.
That could be down to John Terry and Richard O'Kelly going. I think they had the dream team then. And I think it changed when they went. Something's changed.
There's always Fred, Manchester United. Welcome to Fred. He's a quality midfielder.
We don't have that link, do we? Not Fred. We don't have the link between midfield and defence.
From the outside. And then if we were to sign that type of player, who can do that job sitting there in front of our back four and give us some protection, stop us getting broken on? Not that Douglas Luiz cannot do that job. I think he can.
But he does give away a lot of free kicks in the process.
He's one-sided a lot.
Two hit and miss.
He gets turned and he's in these little pullbacks that he does and gets us in trouble. Let's say we got 110 million to spend on two or three players, the centre midfield would be the one we'd want to shore up.
I know my name's not Greg, but
who would you go for?
I would have not put in a bid of 25 million for James Ward-Prowse. It's quite insulting if you think about it retrospectively. Like, if someone, Jack Grealish is to us what he was to us, what he is to them, and we went, here's 25 million, he's worth way more than 25 million. And let's face it, if he was at our club, things would be different. And now, Greg, you can carry on, but I've just been meaning to say that.
You'd have to look at someone around the ilk of. You're not going to get Declan Rice, are you? Because his value is just...
He's going to go anywhere.
But someone like N'Golo Kante, he's kind of fell out of favour at Chelsea, hasn't he? A little bit. He's not playing him as much as he used to. I'm not saying you're going
to
get someone like N'Golo Kante.
Yeah,
you've got
someone
like Ndidi.
Yeah, but they think he's the new Kante, so he's going to get... like Chelsea probably.
You need that type of player, almost like you've got two players in one. In midfield, but just to control that midfield. That
this is the point, though. Do these players even exist? Ndidi and Kante.
He's a real player, Ndidi is.
But do, aside from those, do they exist? Like, where are they? What's the closest?
Who's the lone player centre midfield for Brighton? He's got a load of energy. He's just come back from injury, I think, and they've been missing him a little bit. God, what's his name? Quite quick.
I can't think.
I think he's.
I mean, that player.
Basuma.
Yeah.
We were linked with him.
I've looked at him, watched him, and he breaks up a lot of play. But he's got athleticism to get forward as well.
Yeah, which
so
we don't have.
John McGinn a bit of a rest because.
We've been saying for months.
He wins it, and John McGinn always wants to go forward with it.
Yeah.
But at times he needs to get a breath in.
But he's having to drop back too deep, John McGinn.
Yeah, I'm finding that.
We've been saying for months on this podcast, every single one we've said, pretty much that we don't play John McGinn where he should play.
No.
Like for Scotland, he's a number 10, isn't he?
Yeah.
But we don't play him like that. And,
I
it's,
think that's because he hasn't got the players alongside him. I mean, you're Paul McTominay out, but for Scotland, he's a totally different player. Scott McTominay for Scotland is really rating for Scotland.
Yeah, and you'd probably go, ooh, all right, yeah,
he
maybe on loan or...
That licence to get forward, which he's not getting at Villa because Douglas Luiz, it sounds like, isn't as good as Scott McTominay.
Gerrard might have someone from Rangers to come in and fill that gap. Palace.
It sounds really bad.
Who's the player for Palace?
Scottish football, and there'll be people from Scotland listen to this. And I'm not slaying.
Well, how well are Crystal Palace doing at the minute?
Really well.
Yeah, and that guy they got from
Vieira.
No, I think he's a manager. playing, is he? But I said to you when we were watching Palace, Villa should have had that player, the new guy that they bought him from Celtic or Rangers.
Oh, Edouard.
Edouard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's more of a striker, isn't he, than he is a...
That's what I'm saying, though. I mean, these players, they can be...
This is another one that we were linked with. We were linked with.
Didn't see him coming up the ranks.
The one we should have got that we were so close to reconciling was Emile Smith-Rowe. I mean, he's just literally, at the moment, he's going to the stratosphere.
Well, he's more of... He's a direct, really, replacement of Grealish, isn't he?
Yeah, but... We were offering Silly like 30 million. And yeah. I went, no, you're joking.
I do think that's...
We had 100 million. Why don't we just go, well, there's 50 million?
Yeah.
Well, we could have had 50 million for Ward-Prowse. We could have had 50 million for Ward-Prowse, and even if we'd had to pay 60 million for Emile Smith-Rowe.
Yeah.
Because at the time, Arsenal were looking dodgy. Look at them now, because he's come into form.
Don't think necessarily that's the player we now need.
The jury's out there. It really is for me.
Energetic ball
carrier
that we need.
Yeah,
and I think Bissouma fits that sort of remit. Whether he could be tempted away, that type of player anyway that gets wins the ball back, gives it, goes again. Got that energy. He looks really good.
Okay, well,
and playing for a club that, with all due respect, is not as big as Villa. No,
well, this is the thing, but we need to start. We need living to be, up to that and being like, we are massive, quite rightly so.
Can I just bump up? There are a lot of big clubs down there with the Villa, though. Leeds have not had a great start to the season, either.
No.
You know.
They've had a lot of... They've had the identical season to us.
That's what I'm getting at.
Terrible pre-season, a lot of injuries, suspensions.
Going, Leeds will be fine when they get all their players back. Well, you're not the only club that's had a lot of players missing.
I mean, the thing that concerns me slightly, and we're talking about the positives, but like a player like Ollie Watkins, who, let's face it, we all love him, absolutely praise him every week, but how many goals has he got now? Three.
Yeah.
Which, for Ollie Watkins and the standard we set him at, it's poor, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is poor.
He's not getting any service, though, is he?
Not getting service.
It's not like he's missing chances. There was one, it was the Arsenal game when we were 3-1 down. And he did
get a late chance.
He got a chance that just flashed past him, but I can't think of too many chances he's been given.
But then this is a result, I believe, and this is Dean Smith's gone now, but playing the formation that we've been playing, we didn't get the best out of Watkins either, did we?
That's the problem.
No.
We don't get the ball. We don't win it back. We don't turn over the play. The opposition get in at us, have a strike at goal, or we concede a corner. We just don't seem to ever be able to just like stop them breaking us, win the ball back and get on the front foot.
We have stopped pressing teams.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a lack of confidence and maybe personnel. So some of the new managers are going to have to address.
So who do we think... I mean... Gerrard is basically odds-on favourite. There's so much flying around at the moment saying that basically the deal is effectively done. They're just talking about backroom staff.
Gerrard is going to get a Premier League job, isn't it?
At some point.
Who do you think and who would you like?
I think I like and think Gerrard.
I'm becoming more a fan of the idea, purely because what I said to Greg was... The mentality that he would bring to the club, I think, is what we're lacking. He's a winner. He's done it from a very young age. He did it not just for his club, but for his country.
He also is friends with Purslow, isn't he?
Yeah, and I also like the fact that what Greg said the other day was he's young enough that in a training set, that's not me slagging off Dean Smith, but he's young enough that in a training session, he could still be running with the players and going, this is where you press. This is...
Yeah.
And I think his influence on...
Something else that makes me think it'd be nice to get Steven Gerrard. A load of blue noses and Albion fans going, you won't get Steven Gerrard.
Well,
that makes me think...
Danny Murphy...
They don't want us to get Steven
Gerrard. Danny Murphy saying you won't get Gerrard as well, basically, because he said that if I know Stevie, you know, I don't think that he would go for Villa right now. Like, it wouldn't be the best thing. Because, I mean,
It's not like we're cut adrift. Yes, we've lost 5 games... but having watched them games, you know, the West Ham game, we weren't 4-1 worse than, you know, we weren't 3 goals worse than West Ham. They were the better side, but without
West Ham are the better side against most teams at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah,
so
they beat Liverpool the other night.
Yeah,
it was no surprise. I don't think anyone was surprised when they beat Liverpool. A lot of people were like, I think West Ham will win tonight. That's how good Moyes has got them playing. So that part, the Arsenal game was disappointing. The Wolves game, we shouldn't have lost. Not 2-0 up around 10 minutes ago.
On that list, I just do not... I don't want Nuno. I know that. And I don't want Roberto Martinez either.
Well, I don't think he will. I think he knows where he's strongest at the moment, and that is with Depp. He's got the best players in the world. He's not going to want to risk it by going to the Premier League and blighting his. I don't think Martinez. I can't see going for the Belgian job to go to manage at Villa, and that kind of says it all for me. I don't want him.
Yeah, I agree. I think
cross him off.
I think having somebody like Steven Gerrard, who's got the top job in Scotland, not the top club job in Scotland, could set a legacy to then go, no, I fancy that. That says it all. If he goes to Villa, they actually really, really just want to prove himself in the Premier League. So, yeah, I think he's probably the most. It'd be good to see.
Yeah, I think Gerrard will get the job, but I'd like Favre.
Yeah.
To come in, I think he's. The thing that concerns me is Gerrard. With Gerrard, it's like the Scottish League, isn't it? It's not in the same ballpark as the Premiership, is it?
No.
If you've got Rangers and Celtic in the Premiership, that's probably a discussion for another time. If you've got Rangers and Celtic in the Premier League now, where would they sit in the Premier League?
Yeah, I've always thought that. The thing is, he'd be working with better quality players as well, though, because you've just said it, really. Well, you were
Greg's face. He's not really.
Because I think Rangers would sit quite low in the. I think he's working with John McGinn, would be a star in Scotland.
Yeah,
he was a star in Scotland.
Yeah, he's a star for the Scottish team, isn't he?
Well, something I saw earlier, and I thought someone made a post about. What players have we got now that are actually top six players? If that's our ambition and we want to be in the top six and that's the board's plan and they want it in 2023-24 season, which are our top six players? Who now is a top six player?
We would have been top six if we could have kept Jack Grealish and added a Danny Ings to that squad and one or two others.
Mm.
That was perfectly achievable. The difference is we've lost £100 million player.
But who in our team is a top six player?
I don't like Danny Ings' attitude at the minute.
Oh God, this is a separate.
Danny Ings. Sorry.
If you look at Ollie Watkins, his attitude, regardless of the result, he just continues to work.
I think Ollie Watkins would
get. Watkins is a top six player.
Ollie Watkins in say a Liverpool side would get 22-23 goals.
It'd be like an Origi, wouldn't he?
Hopefully Ollie Watkins isn't listening.
Yeah, he'd come on.
Yeah.
You know, don't be getting any ideas.
Tyrone Mings, top six player. He is. Konsa.
Martinez.
Cash. We haven't had a lot
of... I love Matty Cash, but is Matty Cash a top six player?
He was pushing, wasn't he? Definitely. Last season... I thought he had a great game the other night. He's having to work so hard.
Actually, Tyrone Mings had a great game, and I'm prepared for people to unfollow me and give me abuse on social media to say it.
You know, Greg's a man. We've just named five or six players there that are the top six. So, all those players in Scotland. Imagine those six players in the Rangers side. They'd be out of sight. Celtic wouldn't get nowhere near Rangers six. So. It's hard to judge where Rangers. So he would be working with a better set of players than he could ever wish for in Rangers.
I just think what those players need now is they need someone that's done it, and he is going to improve their mentality and boost their confidence.
Do players get bored of hearing the same thing all the time? Do they get bored of hearing, "Marky man, push up, win it back"? Do they just get bored of hearing it, and then that becomes? They don't enjoy going into work as much because they hear the same thing.
I think the concerning thing in the last game, wasn't it, was the note that was being passed around. That sort of... It did show a bit of desperation, it felt like. Are we really having to pass a note to get a point across?
It was their secret Santa
list. Ollie Watkins didn't seem that chuffed about who he got. Just threw it on the ground. But no, seriously, getting back to it, I was watching it thinking, really? And you know, then Keenan Davis comes on, Archer comes on. It's like, let's
Keenan Davis, God's sake.
I don't know. I think the main thing, I think we'll summarise because we're coming up towards sort of the hour mark, yeah. But the main thing I think that we need to do now is whoever comes in to the club is that we get behind them and we get behind the players. I'm not telling people...
It's certainly not a rip it up and start again.
No, it's not. It's
it could have been. It could have got that bad.
I don't want to hear the word project much more.
No. But what it is now is it's certainly not a rip it up and start again. It's just somebody coming in, taking what are... Potentially, they are a top 10 side. That's not beyond the realms of possibility.
Look at where we were last season and how many clean sheets we kept. We can get there again.
We were never going to be better without Jack Grealish. I'm saying it. We weren't. We were never going to be better without Jack Grealish than we were with him. And that's the reality.
Yeah. It's just sad that the end of this era is basically we lost, within the past like 6 months, we lost a Villa fan as a captain and now a Villa fan as a manager.
The youngsters at Villa.
Yeah, and I hope that doesn't change. I hope that...
I don't think it will. I don't think the board and the whole structure will allow that. I think there's a model there they want to use, which is bringing in young, hungry, already proven players alongside up-and-coming youngsters. And I think that will continue. Just got a bridge this season. Keep saying it. This season just needs somebody to just get us through.
Steady the ship again. Like what Dean Smith had to do.
And then the Cameron Archers start next season. You know what I mean? And we start bedding in, like Aaron Ramsey starts getting in the side and stuff like that. You know?
I mean, our new manager could come in and they could say...
And buy £100 million of talent.
Well, our manager could come in and say, do you know what? I'm putting Watkins out wide and I'm putting Ings in the middle or I'm putting Archer in the middle.
Watkins would not be a problem playing out wide.
No.
I don't think... He'll do whatever you want him to do. And I think you need to play Danny Ings down the middle. And if it means playing Watkins out wide...
Instead of Al-Ghazi anyway.
Yeah, I mean, why not do that?
Mm.
I think it's going to be a very... whoever comes in, it's going to be very interesting to see who they rate and who they don't. And it could be a bit of a... It could be a culture shock for the likes of your Al-Ghazis. And I've had a very on and off sort of love for him. Like, when he's at his best, I adore him. But when he's at his worst, I just think you just don't deserve to have your place in this team. And I know that sounds really strong, but there are some players that I think are going to have to take a really long, hard look in the mirror and go, do I want to be part of this? Because I don't think, if it is Steven Gerrard, and that's what everybody's saying, I don't see him taking any nonsense from anybody. And maybe that's what we need.
Yeah.
I mean, Simon Jordan's calling some of our players overinflated. And I know who he's referring to, because he's made it very clear. But some of them, have they been riding on like the coattails for a while? And actually they do need someone to come in and go, you're not playing anywhere near where you need to be. Yeah, if you think that's good enough, it's not.
Both through. The performance levels have just not been the same, have they? The running's not the same. Distances haven't been covered. The same intensity's not been covered.
No.
Mm.
Whoever it is, they've got a big old job on their hands, basically, haven't they?
Like I said before, it's not a rip it up and the whole club's in disarray. It's a very, very well-run, oiled machine. Just needs someone just to take it and change, perhaps. It could just be that they just got bored of the same messages, but because that's all that Dean Smith knew, you know, because that's as far as he could take us. I don't know. I'm pleased that the board maybe realised that and perhaps saved him from what we didn't want to see, you know.
That board of the same messages on the pitch.
On the paper. Yeah,
I wonder if it was not Matt Target's just got me sacked, lads.
I don't, because I...
That's what Matt Target did. He looked at himself too long in the mirror, and that's what was up with him when he did that interview afterwards.
Matt Target, at least he was heartfelt and he meant it. He showed some emotion.
I felt like he'd been crying.
Yeah, but I don't mind that. If you've got 11 players who've felt that they are not performing to the levels they should be at, and I feel that strong, that he literally nearly was in tears, then he clearly probably does need a change of manager. He's got a change of manager.
Yeah, and...
He's not been on it for a few games.
He said that, Greg. Yeah. He actually said, a lot of us have not been performing to where we should. He said, I'm speaking for myself, I know I've not been as good as I was last season. But Mings, after the game, he was not happy. No. He was really standoffish and very like, yeah, it's just not good enough. And they know, but it's if they know it, that's sort of, you've half addressed the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's how do you get out of that mindset? And that's what the new manager has got to come in and say, look at your last season. You were knocking on the door of Europe.
A new voice, new ideas.
Yeah.
You might just give him that pep to do some. This is different. I'm enjoying this. Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see what he's bringing in there.
So do you think...
A little bit of a tweak in positions and stuff and personnel maybe. And then just all we've got to do is stop the run we're on, isn't it? If we get a draw against Brighton, it isn't the end of the world. You know what I mean?
So do you think this is just like a bit of a bridging... Do you think this appointment is part of the project still?
Stephen Gerrard wouldn't be, would he? Stephen Gerrard's not going to come for one season. Steven Gerrard will probably want to sign a 5-year contract, I feel.
Yeah, been it for the long haul, wouldn't he?
Until Walt Clough is gone.
He wants the Liverpool job, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So if he does come to Villa, he's not going to want to lose.
He's not going to have that on his CV.
No, not at all.
Fail at Villa, because that will rule him out of the Liverpool job, most likely.
Well, a guy said that on Twitter earlier. He was like, well, if he just uses this as a stepping stone for Villa, then that's not great for us. And I said, well, to be fair, if he ends up using it as a stepping stone, that means that we've got to a point where Liverpool go, oh, all right, he's done a good job at Villa, we'll have him at Liverpool.
That means we're around.
So to be honest, that his gain is a winner for us, if that makes sense. Like if he smashes it with us and then Liverpool in 3 or 4 seasons go, oh, we want you now, we should be in a position where we can attract the next up-and-coming manager or someone else to fit our...
It's just been romantic, isn't it, at Villa, the last 3 seasons, because you've had, like, a club captain who's a Villa fan come through, like, from 8 years old all the way through to captain his club, taking him to Wembley and all that, like, with a manager who's a Villa fan who stood on the
whose dad was a steward and...
Whose dad was a steward and then passed away and all that, and it was very romantic. But all these things only take you so far, and I think that's the reality of it. And football's really... Well, fans are fickle, aren't they? There'll be fans listening to this that won't agree with everything we say. You've got
billion-pound owners, aren't you? And that's the problem at United at the minute. Sentiment's great, but it doesn't...
It only gets
results.
You so far, yeah.
Yeah, you know. If you want to do a podcast about United with me and Holly, I'd be enough to sort of... We'll be the second or third wheel on that podcast for you, if you like, Greg.
I don't know, but I think that pretty much wraps up the podcast. I did just want to give out a quick shout out to my new favourite Twitter account that I found this week.
Go on then.
And I have briefly touched on this with you, Greg, but there is a account on Twitter called Footy Scran. So basically what they do is they ask you to send in pictures of your food from... obviously different stadiums around the country. So what you had, how much it was. I got into a rather heated sort of exchange by accident last night because they uploaded Man City's hot dog of champions. Now, this hot dog of champions had no condiments whatsoever, no onions, nothing. It was a plain bun with a sausage inside. That was it. And all I said was, that's as empty as their stadium.
Yeah,
to which it did start a bit of a thing, but getting away from that, Footy Scran is a brilliant account, and I said that I'd give them a little shout out because it's on Twitter sometimes you can get bogged down in the
stuff on there as well. People have good food.
Oh yeah, something at Reading, someone had a Chinese share box and it had like sticky ribs and like spring onions, fresh chilies in it, and then Man United do a panini that's burnt for £4. It's brilliant, and I said I'd give them a shout out because
that's when Fred's still cooking the food.
Yeah, he's cooking the food. But Twitter can be, and social media, not just Twitter, can be very, very toxic, can be very, very heavy going, and at the minute it's all of us fans are doing the same thing, constantly refreshing the timeline. Have we signed any? Have we got a new manager? In the transfer window, it's who we're signing. We had the Grealish saga. So it's nice to see an account where you just go, oh, that's funny. It's a hot dog and it's rubbish.
Yeah,
and
sounds good.
I just thought I'd give them a shout out. It's a great account.
I think the next time we all get together, probably that new manager.
Probably by the weekend, I would imagine, if it carries on.
The podcast will probably be...
Welcome to our brand new manager.
Welcome to the new manager and what we expect of the new manager and management team.
I heard you mention Pep. He's 10,000 to 1. Worth 50p.
But thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all our new followers, our new listens. thank you for supporting the podcast, basically. And that's
it. Thanks to you.
Should we wrap it up?
Keeping it going. And next time we'll have a new manager.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Start of a new era up the Villa.